Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Secrets of Getting Published Now. We talk about every aspect of getting your book published and getting it out into the world. Hi, I'm Sharon Abbott, and I'm your host, where we are all working together to make it easier for everyone to achieve a life of abundance. I believe everyone has at least one book within them, and there is a simple process of drawing the book out through a series of questions such as, what are you really passionate about? What would you do with the rest of your life if you were given a free pass to do anything you want? What have others told you you are really good at doing? Writing your story for your family legacy is an amazing gift to give the generations to follow. I believe each of us is born with a purpose, which is our gift, and the mystery is uncovering what that gift might be. The joy is within the journey that leads to our destiny.
Welcome to the show. Our guest today is Daniel Hall. He is our speaker and consultant. He is a coach, lawyer, from nurse, and sometimes blogger. He's also the creator of the popular Real Fast training programs designed to help authors, speakers, coaches, trainers, internet marketers, and entrepreneurs effectively grow their business faster and profit more effortlessly. Daniel's first product was the super successful and very popular Speak on Cruise Ships program, which is designed to help speakers trade their public speaking talents on luxury cruise ships throughout the world. Now, Daniel conducts special self-selecting auditions to help speakers determine whether their cruise speaker opportunity is right for them or not. So, Daniel, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Sharon.
Now, you're out in the world today. You're not home. Tell us where you are.
I am in beautiful Atlanta, Georgia, and I'm about to speak a couple times, actually, at an event called NAMS, NAMS 10.
That sounds interesting. Who's putting that on?
David Perdue does it every 6 months, and it really is the premier event for affiliate marketers and folks that are just trying to get started and make their first dollar in affiliate marketing. And he brings in the speakers and trainers, etc. And that's why I'm here.
Wonderful. Now, I know that I have talked to you like many, many times. I don't know if you remember my Elite Leads business, but I had taught entrepreneur skills for over 20 years. And I had first come across you when you were doing your Speaking on Cruise programs, which I had just discovered kind of by accident. Why don't you tell everybody how you became interested in speaking on cruises and how that actually evolved over time?
Well, I was a baby lawyer. I'd be happy to do that, by the way. But I was a baby lawyer. In other words, I'd gotten out of law school. I was working lots of hours, and I was broke, believe it or not, because they didn't really pay lawyers. They still don't pay lawyers, particularly if you're new, a whole heck of a lot. And I really wanted to take a vacation, I didn't have the money for. So I was trying to figure out a way, how could I take like a world-class, really nice vacation without having to pay for it? And so the idea sort of dawned on me from that standpoint, hey, even though I'm not necessarily a speaker, I am pretty fearless. I could get up and do just about, anything. Why don't I offer to the cruise lines to do a talk in exchange for a free cabin? And essentially, I called the cruise line and it worked. I mean, there's kind of more to that story, but essentially that's what happened. It worked, and I did it for three or four kept on taking lots of cruises, right, because I could. And more and more what was happening, and I'd head off for another cruise, and somebody would ask me, well, how are you able to, you know, how are you able to take all these cruises? And I would tell them, and of course, every time I would tell them that I was essentially a cruise ship speaker, that I was trading my talents as a, you know, in my hobbies, and I was speaking about my hobbies and my passions on board in exchange for a free cruise for my wife and I. Well, you know, always the answer was, hey, can I do that too? You know, how could I do it, right? So, and I was doing, you know, I started to get that response over and over again, and it finally dawned on me that, you know, there was a big niche here. So that's when I created my first product.
That's amazing. And what happened, like, was there evolution of, you know, when you first began? Because I think that gave you an incredible amount of visibility.
Well, it did in the niches that I was working in, that's for sure, because I was very, very, well, first off, the cruise ship speaking is a niche within a niche, right? It's public speaking, it's professional public speaking, but on a cruise ship. And at the time, no one else, this was back in 2000, and when did I come out with that book? I started doing this in 2000, I think. That was the first time I took a cruise. And then in 2004, I believe, late 2004, I published the book for the first time. It may have been early 2005. Don't quote me on the exact dates because I don't remember, but it was around that time. And because, you know, it was new, it was a little sexy. It was kind of, it had some intrigue to it, and no one else was doing it. A lot of the people that were serving the speaker market at the time just kind of glommed onto it because it was so interesting, and it was you know, kind of provocative, and a lot of people wanted to do it. The other thing that was really good about it is that if you were a new speaker, in other words, if you aspired to be a professional speaker, it was a good training ground, and it looked good on the resume. You know, looked good, on your marketing materials that your clients included, you know, Celebrity and Royal Caribbean and Princess, and you know, all these different lines. So when you took the, you know, those facts, and you put a little product with it, and it wasn't a little product, was a pretty stout ebook, but it really, really, it sort of propelled me, it launched me, and it allowed me to start making connections with people that would later, you know, years later, actually, you know, help me in other parts of my business. So, you know, I've been very fortunate from that standpoint as well.
You know, I just have loved following you, and I know you had worked with Tom Antion, who I had met and probably 15 years ago when he did an event in Las Vegas with Ray and Maria DeGray. And, you know, so it's been fun for me because I've been kind of, you know, local, going out slowly international and now international speaking. And to see where, you know, all of us have come from different vantage points, you know, if you had to give somebody who is just starting out advice, you know, what is it that an author tends to forget when they're just getting going in their career?
I think that the pivotal thing to keep in mind, if you're an author especially, author or speaker, is that you really need to create whatever your content or deliver whatever your content that you want to sell. That really needs to be content that other people want to buy, okay? That's a really, really important very first step, and a lot of people overlook it. They think because it's important to them that it's going to be important to, you know, the majority of their marketplace, and many times it's just not. And so that's a huge, huge, huge tip.
You know, and I think that's probably how I ended up developing all the products that I have. I kept asking people, what do you need? What do you need? You know, how do you stay on top of what's current? And the great thing for me was it taught me so much about what I needed to know. Because, you know, we get so involved, we get so buried in our own businesses that sometimes we don't even stop to look up, you know, what else is going on out there in the world. So that's really great. So how could someone discover, like, the most effective path towards being a great speaker? Somebody who, you know, when you think about speakers out there in the world, there are people like Og Mandino, who was always one of my absolute favorites to listen to. You know, how does somebody get to that level?
Well, I don't really feel qualified to answer that question, because I don't really feel like I have reached that level. But I will say this. The fact of the matter is that you become a better speaker when you speak, okay? Just when you just by the mere fact that you are out in doing it makes you a better speaker. The second thing is that you, whatever you speak about, you speak with passion and from your heart, because you may not be all that good technically, right, from the stage. You may not be the silver tongue polished speaker, but if you are coming from a heart of service and are passionate about what you are saying, that is going to ring true to your audience, okay? Whether or not you stumble, fumble, and ah, right? So that those two things are, in my opinion, very, very important.
So if you were to think of all the things that you've come across throughout the years, are there specific resources that you could recommend to speakers and authors?
Speakers and authors, with regard to building a building their business,
right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. The place that I would start for each person is a book that I really think kind of changed my life, and that book was called Influence: The Psychology of Persuasion. By Dr. Robert Cialdini. It's a $15-16 book on Amazon, and I highly recommend everyone listening to this either now or in the future to go get that book and read it, study it, then read it again, and then read it again, because so many of the things that I ultimately end up using in my talks, in my presentations, in my webinar presentations, in my books, you know, just about everything that I do has a base or a nugget that came from that book. Now, it may not have come from me directly from that book, but if I go back to it, I'm like, oh, wow, it's here too. So it's a really good place to start, I think.
Okay, that's great, because that you're the first person who's actually mentioned that, and I remember reading it probably 15, 16 years ago when I had just started teaching the speaking program. Are there social media things that you find come into play more than others, and how much time do you actually spend on social media?
Okay, so that's a really good question. And to answer your question, for what most people have in their mind when you use the word or the phrase social media, not much time at all. I will do it, you know, whenever I feel like it, and that's not too often. However, one of the things that I think is really, really important, an important part of my business, is that as I was building a an email list and a in a in a group essentially. Just in the last maybe year, maybe it's been a little longer, maybe it's been a little less. I established a Facebook closed group. In other words, it's just people that are, you know, interested in the things that I'm interested in, and it's my little group. And now I think we've got like 30, I don't know, I could look, but I think we have around 3,400 people in it. And essentially, it's a way to reach out and potentially talk to 3,400 people when you want to reach out and to talk to them, right? And not be so tied to cranking out posts or whatnot for you know the entirety of you know Facebook or Twitter or whatever. So that's really what I've been doing, and I really like that. And by the way, you should know that the NIDUS, the reason, the core of the reason that I did that is because I wanted an effective way to communicate with people that are interested, prospects of mine and customers that did not require email. Okay, and it's really kind of worked out that way. It's very, I think it's been very good.
So do you use LinkedIn very much?
I don't use it at all, other than to, I shouldn't say that. I do have a profile on LinkedIn, and I'm an influencer, I think, because I've got a lot of people that I'm connected to, but it's not anything that I have, that I'm using to really build my business.
You know, it's funny because LinkedIn has changed in my mind a great deal in the past year because I believed it was mostly techie people and people recruiting techie people up until I discovered the groups that are there, and there's hundreds and hundreds of groups of speakers and authors, and it has become a real gold mine for me to find people who have ideas, concepts, connections, really have developed a new respect for LinkedIn. And I was number 78 on profiles for LinkedIn because the founder had actually come into our master's class and he was just starting out. Was like his very first month and asked us all to sign up. So, you know, I kind of have a fondness for LinkedIn, but typically had always avoided going there because it would seem like it just didn't show any resource.
Right. Well, I still don't, I haven't really taken the time to learn it. I'm sure it's a great platform for some folks. And it may well be a good platform for me. I just haven't taken the time to dissect it and to work with it because I'm usually pretty busy cranking out, you know, the next thing I want to get out to the marketplace.
And that's a good segue point because I notice you have an amazing number of programs, the Real Fast programs. Would you talk a little bit about these and how you actually came about developing them?
Well, funny you should ask. Actually, the very first one came out of a cruise speaker presentation that I did on a Mediterranean cruise because we were going to, I mean, the whole premise of my talk was that you could come to my talk and finish a book while on this, I think it was a 12, maybe it was a 17-day cruise, I don't remember. It was a longer cruise. And I came home with this material that I prepared for this, and I'm a great believer in repackaging and repurposing content. And came home and created this site called Real Fast Book, and I started. I took my training and I did on board, and I expanded it a little bit more and put quite a bit, you know, more content in it because I have the time to do that. And essentially, we ended up with quite a course in it, and it's done very, very well. Well, that was, you know, we've probably had 3,000 people. I don't know the exact number, but at least 2,500 people have come through this my Real Fast Book training, and literally hundreds and hundreds of people have published their very first book as a result of that program. And I thought, now this is quite interesting. And I thought, well, because of the fast nature of it, what if I came up with another, quote unquote, you know, Real Fast branded product? And I think I did. And I believe I don't remember what the second one was, but I mean, now I've got so many of them that I don't actually recall all of them. The focus of every single one of it is whatever it is, you know, whatever we're working with. It is the fastest way to do it. And this is the other really crucial thing, because I don't know everything and I don't profess to know everything. What I've done is I've essentially become a publisher. And if I come across somebody that is really, really good in whatever their market niche is, maybe for you, Sharon, it might be LinkedIn, for example. We did a product called Real Fast LinkedIn. And I would then publish other people's stuff with them. We would be like a co-collaborator, a joint venture type of deal. And that's one of the reasons why I've been able to crank out so many of them, because not only do I do my own Real Fast products, but I've started publishing other people's stuff, other people's content under my Real Fast brand, and it's really, really a very, very powerful strategy to do these collaborative products, because not only do you get the bump and the power of one person's list, but when you've got two people working synergistically to promote something, and you rope in everybody's, the two of you, generally speaking, there's two people. But you have your sphere of influence. I have my sphere of influence, and if you're both working together, you build your business overall. And many times, let's say that you and I were working together, Sharon. I would bring in, or you would bring in your sphere of influence, and now that sphere of influence, or a segment of it, would become a part of mine going forward. And it just gets bigger and bigger, and that's a big thing I want folks listening right now to understand and hopefully shift their paradigm to not only see themselves as a speaker, author, you know, information product creator, but a publisher, because super advantages to that.
Well, and it's a great point, because the synergy between two people is so much greater than one person trying to create that momentum. And I'm looking on your site, and you have the Real Fast book, Real Fast Distribution, Marketing, Profits, Traffic Plan, Webinars, and you came up with some more trade show speaker graphics. And CDs. So you really covered a broad spectrum of what authors and speakers really need to know, because what I found is that if you've never done it before, people typically just stop in their tracks and don't do it. But what you've done is created a way for people to actually look at all of the pieces and try to put them together, but have a resource that will get them there faster.
Yeah, exactly, and that's a huge, huge point that you make, because you dropped this really great crumb, and I want to pick up and sort of show folks. The fact of the matter is that so many people feel overwhelmed, because there is, you know, a lot of information to disseminate and to implement, and most people look at it when they realize just how much is out there, and they throw their hands up and they don't try at all. And or they spend thousands of dollars and hours of time trying to master four or five or six different strategies all at the same time and getting nowhere. And that's one of the things that I think that the Real Fast brand works on, and one of the things that I personally profess and try to disseminate among my group, and that is, if you hear of, say, you want to do a book, all right, or you want to learn webinars or whatever it is that seems to resonate with you, you could see yourself doing, you could see yourself easily learning, then that whatever that topic is, whatever that is, you should learn that and only that, okay? Until you've got it, until you have started you've mastered it, and you've started to see results with it. Then once you have, then you can move on to the next logical complementary topic, whatever it happens to be, okay? And again, the next thing that resonates with you. But you don't. It takes a teeny time, like sort of a kernel of discipline, not to pull off one thing, even though something else looks better, because that's the bright shiny object syndrome thing, right? And what I'm saying is that it's okay to pull off, or it's okay to go on to the next thing, but only after you've mastered the thing that they're currently working on. And that's one of the reasons why I think that the Real Fast brand has done so well, is because we help people master these segments, these things that you could do, these strategies, these methods, right, that you could do to help build your business. So as you point out, we've got Real Fast Book, then we've got Real Fast CD and Real Fast DVD and Real Fast Webinars and Real Fast Book Distribution and Real Fast Book Marketing, and on and on and on. And we have all of these different sort of subtopics that come under, in most cases, not every case, but just about every case, it comes under content, right? It comes under publishing or disseminating in some way content, and I think that's a really, really powerful strategy that people can adopt in their own business, particularly if they're feeling overwhelmed.
No, exactly. And that's unfortunately what most people who are authors, they're isolated, so they don't get out into the world. They don't make relationships. They don't connect with people as well as speakers do. And so then they find that they're kind of stuck in this environment and they're not getting anywhere. The number of people on LinkedIn that I've talked with through chat and even live conversations that are so frustrated because they can't sell their books because they don't get out and speak and they don't have a marketing program. They don't have anything but one book. And they thought that once they had a book published, that was the answer to everything. And so it's kind of funny that, you have all these products and you're able to guide people through these different stages to become successful. And yet people don't know how to find this information. And it's so valuable to build relationships.
Well, it is the most important asset in your business is the relationships that you have, not only with your customers, which are in my book number one, but also the movers and shakers in your world, whatever niche that you're working in. Because the fact of the matter is if I look back, you mentioned Tom, if I look back at Tom and others, Rick Frischman, and there's been a bunch of people that have helped me as I was coming up through. If I didn't establish the relationships that I did with them, then I would, I would be so far behind. But just getting a little wind, underneath your wings, getting some help from somebody else, has really helped me. And I know helps other people if you take the time to do it.
Absolutely. And it's so much fun. I mean, we have a chance to meet people from all over the world, and I am just so happy about this. I'm going to be speaking in Dubai the end of this month because I took the time to actually reach out and meet somebody that normally there's no way I would have met this person in Dubai. You know, so it's like you don't know what opportunities you miss by not making those connections.
It's very important. As a matter of fact, super important.
So what made you actually reach out? Was Tom the first person?
No. Actually, I don't remember who was the first person to help me. I don't remember. But, I mean, it started small. And this is a big thing I want folks to understand. If you're going to seek help from somebody, okay, there's two ways to do it. And I'm going to tell you the two ways, but let me start off by telling you the way not to do it. And that is to go cap in hand and say, will you please help me? Okay, and they don't know you from Adam. There's no connection there to you at all. And in my experience, that's not the way to do things. So that's that. So let me tell you the two ways to connect with somebody that can help you. Number one, the easiest probably, is you could become one of their best customers. If they've got stuff to buy, buy it. If they've got a coaching program, join it. And become a model student. Do what they say, and work with them and do your best to develop a relationship so that they could figure out that you're not a flake. Because that's a big issue in our business. Is there's a lot of people that just aren't quite right. That you're like, well, wait a minute, there's something not right. And so that's one way. The second way is to ingratiate yourself in some other way. Okay, by either, well, I can give you a couple of examples. Number one, if they have a book on Amazon, read their book. And review their book, and then let them know that you have reviewed their book, okay? Or if you, in other words, you find a way to help them, okay? So that you start a relationship. And by the way, that's the other thing I should say, that when you identify somebody that you think might be able to help you either in the short or near term, or the near term or the long term, approach every relationship as if it were a relationship that you are going to have the rest of your life, at least the rest of your business life. So, in other words, the people are that important. It's kind of like when you approached me, Sharon, I really wanted to develop this relationship. And that's the way I approached, saying yes to you when you asked, right? And I think it's a really, really important thing.
It truly is. I mean, most of my success has come from people that I have reached out to, developed a relationship, and then solidified something that we could do to work together. And people think that that's really hard to do, but you have a 50-50 chance of succeeding if you ask, and 100% of not succeeding if you don't ask.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Since we've been talking a little bit about your products, why don't you tell everybody what your website is?
Well, my hub site is at danielhallpresents.com, danielhallpresents.com, and I would invite folks, if you want to know how to build a $10,000 a month business, there is a place there where you can put in your name and email address, and there's a recording, a audio interview where I was essentially asked that question. If I had either sold everything or lost everything and wanted to rebuild my business to a $10,000 a month level, we're much, much higher than that now, but if that's you, then I answer that question in that audio. And you can get that free, by the way, at danielhallpresents.com, and I believe it's on the left or the right side.
The left-hand side. Right, exactly. And that's wonderful. Yeah, because, you know, if people looked at building their business kind of like, I always think of a cafeteria, you know, to have a balanced meal, you have to have a little bit of marketing and a little bit of relationships, a little bit of social media. And by using products like the one that you've created for building a $10,000 a month business, it is such a valuable tool. But using it, applying it, taking the time to set up, you know, every Monday I'm going to be doing this part of it, and every Tuesday I'm doing something else. And it's that business of being in business that I think a lot of people really struggle with. And, you know, that's why it's been so much fun for me to watch your success kind of, you know, from the sidelines and seeing the things that you've done. And I was really impressed with the number of products that you've been able to create over the years. Now, if you had to do it all over again, what would you do differently?
If I had to do it all over again, from what standpoint? I'm not sure that
well,
I quite understand
where,
the question.
Where you are where you are today in business and, you know, what you know now, like, what would you have done different? Like, would you have done more speaking? Would you have, you know, built more relationships? What would you have cultivated differently?
Yeah, I would have to say this is another little nugget that I'm just going to throw out that I hope people pick up. I would say that first off, I would build more relationships and work harder at nurturing them much sooner than I did. And if I looked at that, my most profitable relationships over the years. They continue to be my most profitable relationships. They almost all came from conferences where I either was a speaker or I was attending as a participant. And I had a game plan and there was people that I wanted to meet and I think that's where most of the folks that I do business with today actually were. I met them usually at a conference like I'm at right now.
Isn't that amazing? Because I've had that same experience. And, you know, I think one of the reasons is that we go out into the world and we find out what other people are doing and we find that we can relate to other people. Ken MacArthur asked me to be one of the panelists in San Diego last September. And some of the people I met there, we've already done business. We've done some amazing connections. I don't know if you know, but I'm actually launching a school for kids at risk, taking 6,000 kids from the United States, and they're living on the streets now and moving them to Belize. And one of the people I met through Ken MacArthur is Chris Downs, who is going to be the head of all of my organic farming because we'll be a sustainable school. So we don't know where these relationships are going to go, but when you meet someone in person and have a chance to spend a few days with them, that's what really solidifies that relationship.
Definitely. That's really cool, though, Sharon, that your school. Wow, what an inspiration. Excellent work.
Yeah, it's been 13 years in the making, and the funding is right around the corner, so we'll be breaking ground in September, and I'm just so excited about it. Sometimes it's hard to deal with everyday life because there's like so much going on in my head all the time. But and that comes from building relationships, and a lot of them came from social media and just putting myself out there as a speaker and an author, and always being brave enough to say, this is what I want, And I think that's a big part of success, is always being able to ask for help and always being able to put it out there. What is your fondest dream?
You know, I think that's such an important message. I completely agree with you that if you have a inspiration, particularly if it's an idea that just keeps coming up, and you may forget about it, but it just pops up. Oh, there it is again. Oh, there it is again. And there it is. If you keep having these thoughts, my strong recommendation is to start following them and start seeing where they lead. I mean, because this is your gut talking to you. Hello. And the other thing is, people will say, well, if I do that, I don't know what to do. I mean, I don't know the path. And my response to that is, listen, all you got to do is take the first step, and then you take the first step, and then the next step will be revealed. Okay? You have there's a certain amount of faith, and I'm sure you agree with that, Sharon, that if you're going to take on a project like you have, very, very courageously, with your school, that you didn't have the path all set out for you, and the idea popped in your head, but as you take the next step is revealed.
Yeah, and each person brings another piece to the puzzle, and you know what I realized, it was that Henry Ford challenge where he said that he could answer every question put to him. And they put him in a room, and they had, I don't know, 7 experts or something. And about the 3rd question, he picked up the telephone, and they said, well, what are you doing? And he said, well, I didn't say I knew all the answers. I just know where to find them. So I kind of live my life by that.
That's right. Exactly.
So, Daniel, who has inspired you the most that's really attributed to your success?
Well, there's been so many people that inspire me. I'm sort of with you. I really believe that as people, that we should all be able to live a super abundant life full of all that is good. The love, money, all of it. And I think that I look to people that are living that. So there's not necessarily just one person that I can say, oh, this person inspired me. That I'm inspired, multitudinous times every day by what I see and by the people that I surround myself with, because that's the other really, really important point. I think folks should know, is that, and maybe you've heard this, maybe you haven't, but, they say that your income will be the median of your 10 best friends, right? And
right.
I certainly have seen that in my own life. My stock has risen. I look back and I'm like, who are the 10 people that I hang out with? And I'm like, okay. Well, I'm probably about the middle of the road with my income with those people. I mean, the really cool thing is that we've for a little 3-person firm, we're a 7-figure business, and that's I'm happy with that. I think that's pretty cool.
You need to be pretty proud of that. Yeah.
To
be pretty proud of that. Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I heard that when I was down listening to T. Harv Eker in Los Angeles, and the funny thing was in 2000, one of the people I had trained to do speaking came back, and he gave me a bottle of wine because he had just come back from England, where he was able to earn $82,000 in 45 minutes. And I, although I was very appreciative for the bottle of wine, and it was a nice bottle of wine, I thought, something about this doesn't make sense. I had never made $82,000 in 45 minutes. And so I started thinking, okay, I have to start hanging out with people who are actually way above the level that I had been able to accomplish. And, you know, it was wonderful and rewarding to teach all these people, and it was great seeing their success. But what about me? And that's when I really changed my attitude. And I did the same thing. When I heard T. Harv Eker say that, I went back and I kind of reevaluated who were my go-to friends and what did we do. And then I remember thinking, I had been trying to take this vacation for a long time and no one else could afford it. And I thought, I just have the wrong friends right now.
Right, exactly.
You know, that made a huge impact on me. And one of the things that I love is I make myself go out and attend at least 4 major events every year in the audience. And then I will watch speakers and I watch their body language, like even Les Brown. And I just get such a kick out of him, you know, the way he walks across the stage and he does the shucking and the jiving kind of thing. And not that I could ever do that and get away with it, but it's his personality that it just exudes from him. And that's why I think people are so engaged with him in the audience, is that he lets people see who he is, and becoming vulnerable enough to let your guard down to just be who you are. And I think that that's one of the biggest benefits of going out and hearing other speakers. So who would you most like to see that you've never seen as a speaker?
Who would I most like to see as a speaker that I've never seen speak?
Right.
Do they have to be alive?
No.
I would have really loved to see Mother Teresa speak. I think that would have been cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because she ascended to higher levels than I've achieved.
And the kind of person who came from such humble beginnings and never let it interfere with where she knew she was going. And I think that is such a key element for speakers.
Oh, without a doubt. And I wanted to kind of pick up on this other thread that you've left, and that is, particularly as a speaker, or not just a speaker, but even in your emails and everything that you do in your business, be you. And guess what? Not everyone's going to love you. You've got to be okay with that.
Exactly. You can't win over the world. And it's funny you said BU. The acronym for the school is UBU, Ultimate Business University.
I love it.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's one of the, I think, what people miss out, those who are in corporate jobs. And I work with a lot of people who are in corporate jobs, and they really want to write a book to establish their expertise. And they have a corporate personality, and then they have their other personality, which is the one their family and friends get to see. And I keep trying to get people to meld the two, to actually have one personality.
Yeah, and be transparent. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I think people are going to resonate with that. Sorry, go ahead.
I wanted to ask you, do you have a bucket list?
I'm sorry, say again, I didn't quite catch what you said.
Do you have a bucket list?
It's a rolling bucket list. Okay? Yeah, it's a rolling bucket list because I think, hey, you know, I'd really like to do this, and then guess what? I go out and do it. And then I come back and like, okay, I really like to do this. And then I kind of go out and do it. So, yes, I do, but probably not in the way most people think about it.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that consciousness of saying, oh, I can challenge myself to do something new, or I can challenge myself to go somewhere else. Like, one of the things had been to really establish my international speaking, because the first cruise I spoke on was 15 years ago, and I pretty much have done one every other year, every third year, and that was a huge thing for me because, you know the benefits of that. I mean, even though you typically don't sell on cruises, I ended up with clients. I ended up with people going on my website, buying my books. I had people book me to speak at different events that they were part of. And so there's this enormous, it's almost like a tsunami effect from being out into the world and getting into that international level.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you found that too. I mean, you created programs that were specific for the cruises, and I love the way that you did that. I kind of fell into it backwards because the speaker wasn't able to make a cruise, and they just picked me up because that speaker referred me. You know, it wasn't something that I had thought, oh, I would do that, because I really didn't even consider it. And then it was about a year after the first one that I did that I heard of you and started following what you were doing. So with all of this massive success that you've had and everything that you're doing, what's next on your plate?
What's next? Oh, well, I'll be developing and am developing additional niches and kind of going off into some other areas completely unrelated to the publisher, writer, speaker, content provider niche that I'm primarily in. And I'll be doing more of that. And it'll probably be, in the natural health and natural healthcare modalities that I want to go.
Amazing. You know, there's something else we have in common. I have just a slew of alternative natural health resources, and it's going to be an integral part of what the school is going to be involved with, and really would not be alive today if it hadn't been for the alternative practices that I kind of just stumbled into, and I'm such a big fan.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, very, very aware of things like that have been around 50, 60 years that the general public don't even know about. So, we should have a conversation offline about some of those things, because I think that you'd really enjoy some of these resources.
That'd be awesome.
Tell me something. If you could go back and talk to your 20-year-old self, what advice would you give yourself with the knowledge that you have today?
Ooh. What advice would I give myself? I would say, to maybe, what would I tell myself? That's a doggone good question, Sharon. hadn't thought about that one. I would say to start believing in myself, and living fearlessly. With regard to whatever it was, much sooner than I figured it out.
Yeah, that's a huge component of what I think makes people successful, is taking those risks and knowing that if it doesn't work out, they can adjust along the way.
Exactly right.
People are so afraid of doing something, and it's like, why would you have any fear around this at all? Because it is the unknown, but there's already somebody there who's done it. I mean, we can't invent hardly anything. So it's like, why not just go for it and see where it leads?
Exactly. And that goes back to what I said earlier, that, you know, if you hear those voices, and I don't mean, you know, the funny voices, but if you hear that sort of that inner tug, and, you know, start paying attention to that, right? And act on it, even if you don't have the clear path.
Right, because somewhere along the line, someone will show up, or something shows up. Sometimes it's a book, sometimes it's a class, sometimes it's an event, but something is always there to guide us when we just follow our instincts. And I think that's a great point, because I really love to encourage people to live their lives on purpose and not just kind of sneak by every day. It's just like a waste of time.
Exactly. Why bother?
Right. So what new programs are you working on now?
Okay, so we've got some really cool stuff in the hopper, as always. One of the other things that I'm working on is actually doing more live television and building. I built a studio, and I really want to do a live internet, do live internet television shows. And so that's what's in the hopper. That's one of the things I'm working fast and furious on, and I can't wait to I can't wait to see that come to fruition.
That's going to be a lot of fun. Will it have a specific target? Like, will it be the alternative health, or will it stay with the speaking and that arena?
I think my web address is lifesuccess.tv. I have to check that, but I'm pretty sure that that's it. So it's going to be success-related, programming.
So it can encompass almost anything, as long
that's
as
right.
it's about being successful. That's great. That is going to be a lot of fun for you.
Yes, it will. Plus, it'll. I do have a slightly hammy side, which is one of the reasons why I like cruise ship speaking, is it gives me a stage to get up and yuck it up a little bit. So it'll give me more of a platform to do that with.
You know, I just think this is so amazing, and you know, we're just about wrapping up here. Any last words that you'd like to leave our audience, and please make sure that we get your website again, and it is lifesuccess.tv, because I'm looking at you right now.
Oh, good, great, okay. So yeah, the words that I want to leave everyone with is that if you have a calling, if you really, really have something that sort of speaks to you, resonates with you, that to follow that path, to challenge yourself to follow that path, and allow yourself to make mistakes without getting down on yourself, just and do it, and see, you know, where it leads, because it's actually a great adventure. I mean, this whole thing is just a that's the way I look at it. It's just a great big fun, you know, adventure. And if you start looking at life in those terms, you mean the whole thing just becomes it's just fun to get up in the morning, right? It's fun to see what's going to happen today, and I just love that.
You know, and that's such a great point. If people realize that life is an adventure and the journey is what you do in the meantime, it's not the destination. It is
it
what
is definitely
you
not.
Do. Yeah, it's
exactly.
So wonderful. Thank you, Daniel, so much for being on the show. I love who you are, what you're doing, and I really appreciate your taking the time out, even though you're out at an event. So thank you so much.
Well, thanks so much for having me. And again, if folks want to check out that that audio where I talk about how to build a $10,000 a month business. That's at DanielHallPresents.com, DanielHallPresents.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much, and be sure everyone tune in next Friday. I'll be talking to Eric Vanderhoof. Eric is the president of Global Net Publishing, and his goal is to promote advanced techniques in publishing for the 21st century. So he's a well-respected international author, publisher, copywriter, speaker, and coach. And be sure and stop by my website, authortrainingprograms.com, for your free article this week, Why Publish Independently. And I do want to mention the music that I use on the show is by Patrick O'Hearn. He's from Ireland. This CD is Rivers Gonna Rise, and the cut is Homeward Bound. Thanks again, Daniel, and I look forward to hearing from all of you and listening. Have you listening next Friday.
Bye now.
Bye.